Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Dimitri Lylan, and I'm excited to be back with Eric. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Dimitri.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about SQL Server Data Tools today, one of my favorite topics. I've been on with Kevin. You've been on this show with Robert, right, talking about this. And today we're going to talk about the DevOps pipeline. So why don't you give us some details?
Yeah, today the main topic is about the SQL Server and the SQL Database on Azure, CI/CD, in DevOps pipeline. So to get there, we are going to start with the database development approach, which is a migration-based approach, which is more traditional, and state-based database approach. And then we will jump into CI/CD. Most of this session, we'll go through, we will run it over demos so that they can be more exciting.
Yeah, we love demos.
That's the plan for today.
Sounds good. So just to set the context for people a little bit more, just in case, you know, maybe some of you aren't as familiar with all this technology and all the acronyms here.
Yeah.
So we're going to specifically look at how a Visual Studio, let's say Visual Studio 2017 developer using the SQL Server data tools, right, can use, you know, all this technology that we have for the developer in Visual Studio to let them work with SQL. Mm-hmm. SQL as part of, you know, their source control, their team-oriented development, and specifically the DevOps pipeline, which is all the stuff that you're going to demo.
Yeah, you got it right.
Awesome.
So, let's start with what is the migration-based and state-based? What's the key difference?
Yeah.
So the key difference between those two approaches is about what is the system of truth for your database.
Mm-hmm.
In migration-based development, your live database is the system of truth.
Been there.
All right, I will get there. So state-based database development, your database source code is the system of truth.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to the demo and take a look at what is really mean, right, in this session.
Awesome. Let's take a look. Right.
Okay. So let me switch to application. This is my demo application. It's called the Banjo Works directory. And let's put on a hat as an application developer today. Okay.
Awesome.
So we are not the professional DBAs or we are application developers.
Sure. So what kind of app is it? Like, is it
this one is Azure web app service running using a SQL database on Azure.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what it does is that it pulls down the employee information and like a phone book.
Mm-hmm.
And if you click one of the employee information, it shows the detail of that employee.
Sure.
Now, if you take a look at that, there are sensitive informations there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as a developer, I start my day by looking at my work. So if I expand it, then the task for today is that make sensitive, mask sensitive employee information. So we are showing like a phone number and then the emails.
Mm-hmm.
So ask is mask it, hide it.
Sure, right? very common ask.
Yeah, exactly. So in SQL Server 2016, there is a great feature called the dynamic data masking, my favorite demo scenario,
mm-hmm.
that you can really easily mask any sensitive information without making any single line of change in your application.
Right. So the database handles all the masking in your application,
exactly.
Just gets the data back and displays it however we choose the mask to be applied.
Right.
Cool.
So let's look at the migration-based approach first. Ever since SQL language was invented back in 1970, database developers have lived in the world of writing and executing create, alter, and drop statements.
Yes.
And then for making changes to your database, right?
And then emailing those scripts to your friends and the team
that's right.
to run locally.
That's right. And until you release the first version, it's straightforward. You can do all the dev actions. But once you have the first version released to the public, then you have many users using your app and services day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And then a change like this is business of altering your live database. So, so let's take a look at what it is. So first, let's take a look at what we have. I will execute it against the, I'm connecting to my live database, which is running on local, which is my dev environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I connect.
So you got SQL Server 2016 installed locally.
Right, right. Cool. I'm running SQL Server 2016 locally as a dev environment, which is my currently the live data, right?
Right?
And I execute it. As you see, emails are all shown very clearly, right?
Yeah.
So the key thing is that with the dynamic data masking in SQL Server 2016, it's really simple code change like this. There's two line of code,
mm-hmm.
and I will execute it. Boom. Two errors,
right?
So it's your database is live, the system of truth. Now, as a developer, I need to understand what's in there exactly, mm-hmm. right? And then I can understand what is these errors, right? Right now, what message is telling us is that the employee view has dependency on the table that I modify, mm-hmm. and also there are other objects that is actually using this table at the same time. So to figure out as a developer in the migration approach, either you need to get a great tool to figure this out, or right. you have to have a great knowledge about your live database already.
Yeah.
Or you have to ask around your friends and experts.
Or keep trying to alter until you run out of error messages.
Right. So that's kind of a typical approach. Let's do that in the state-based approach, and then let's see the difference there, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so in state-based, as I mentioned, I'm going to Solution Explorer. Everything is based on source code. That's your system of truth, not mm-hmm. the live database. What is most natural way as an application developer to make a changes or creating a new version of application? Right? Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at, before we go jump into database side, let's take a look at the application. So I have this is my web application code, mm-hmm. it's written in C#. And there is a vEmployee model class, right? So let's say if you don't need this property, what you do is you delete it mm-hmm. on the source code file. If you want to modify, then you modify the changes on your source code file.
Right.
That's what you do. And that's now you have a new state of your application, and then you build it, test it, and you install it, mm-hmm. right? Or deploy to the web app service, right?
Sure.
So that's the practice. You can do the exactly same thing. Let me just close this one. Don't save it. If you go to a database project, SSDT database project, which is all state-based, then you do the exact same thing. All your database objects are captured in the project as a source code.
Right, and SSDT is smart enough for those that maybe haven't tried it in a while. I mean, it knows the relationship between it. It really is kind of rich IntelliSense, friendly environment. It's part of your source control, part of your project.
Right.
And get latest on your developer friend next door to you. Next desk over, we'll get the changes you're making here. So it's a great way to collaborate, but you still have some challenges you got to work through.
Yeah. So let's make the same change, like altering it. Mm-hmm. Now here, likewise, you modify the class in your C# or Java. In state-based, you're not dealing with alter business. Mm-hmm. It's always your definition of a table,
right,
which is defined in create. You can always look at the your table in whole holistic view.
Right. You make a change, it knows you made the change, you're deploying it, it will alter accordingly. It doesn't require you to create alter statements.
Exactly.
That's what we're trying
to just declare mm-hmm. the state where your table should be, like this, right? So in this case, I made a change, exact same change on the definition itself, and I go mm-hmm. build. Okay.
So first, we showed like kind of the ad hoc capability of SSDT from Visual Studio to run SQL code, right? So you ran some SQL code just to demonstrate that wasn't as straightforward the change as you thought, and now you're doing it more of like the way we would recommend people do this in this kind of
in
approach.
State-based.
Yeah, in state-based.
Right. So the build was successful. There was no error. Mm-hmm. And then, likewise, you're installing app, but you can install or publish, if you will, to your live database, which is the target. So, mm-hmm.
so like your dev database, let's say your common dev database.
The concept is that you're making your target, whatever it is, to the state of your source code that you just developed and verified. Mm-hmm. That's basically the key concept. So to make it easy, I made the published profile here. So I can just double click, that goes to my local database, mm-hmm. and I run it.
Right. Alternatively here, I love the fact that you can generate the script if you can't.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
let's say you don't want to run until you look at what the changes are that it's generating.
Exactly. I'll show you that one.
Yeah.
So,
error.
Okay. Let me quickly show. Probably we have to do it again.
Yeah.
It's a data loss case. So just a second.
It's trying to protect us.
Yeah. All right, this is the one.
So what we just showed here is actually, you know, when you get an error like that from SSDT, if you're confident that the change is something you want to go for, especially like in a dev environment, right?
Yeah,
right.
I see.
In production, you would think about this a little bit harder.
All right. So you want to know what happened? Actually, yeah. This is my fault. I was kind of prepping the demo and then practicing it on my local machine. And I actually made the really dangerous changes at the same time that could cause the data loss in a situation.
Yeah.
So it actually SSDT detected smartly and stopped it because there is a possible the error of losing your data, right? So if we go to the published setting, and there is a one.
Yep. The
this
block
one,
incremental,
log incremental deployment if data loss might occur. It was checked. Mm-hmm. So it was basically blocking it.
Yeah,
so
and that's the default setting, right?
That
the
is default
is to be
setting.
Most protective.
That is right. So I was not expecting, so that's why I was, oh, what's happening
yeah.
here? But that's actually a legit feature, and it's a great feature that we can always guarantee that you don't have a data loss. And at least you have to, like me, you have to figure out, oh, wait a second, the data loss can happen, so I have to check it out. So my change was just the changing the column size here and there.
Yeah.
That was my experiment before this session. So that's what happened. So
that's safe. We don't have bugs, folks. We show features.
Right. Just in the demo.
Yeah, this
was
part of the demo.
Right?
Unexpected part of the demo.
Unexpected, right.
I like
so
it.
Let's run it again. So. So actually, it's another demo of data protection.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting, so I was like, a little bit confused. But yes, it's a part of the SSDT feature. Now it is successful. So let's go back to our script.
And I love the fact that it shows you the various states of publish, right? So you can
exactly.
see what happened before versus what succeeded now.
Exactly.
I always find it irritating when the tool kind of takes away the previous state, and you're like, what did happen? Maybe you need to email somebody about that, even though it worked for you now locally.
Yeah.
So that's great.
I will show you that part after seeing the result. So
Now
I'm running my query as a suspicious user and see what happens with a dynamic data masking. If you take a look at here, it's all masked.
Right. So the data is still there, but SQL Server is just taking one of its capabilities, masking it, and you as this user with this level of access, with this query, that's what you're going to get. And therefore, an app could get the same data.
The same here close works. And the index is defined on this field. It all works exactly as is. That's the dynamic data masking is the great feature. So let's see then how it worked. Before, with just a simple auto statement, it was not working, right? But with the statement, state-based, it worked. So let's take a look at the preview, what happened. Basically, SSDT detected that the email address table has dependencies on the many others, like employee view has a schema binding here. You see that I will make it bigger.
Yeah.
It has a schema binding. And then the employee, the view itself has a dependency with many other stuff here, right? So to make that the simple change work in migration way, I will show you the script.
Yeah, and so before we showed you like the preview of what the changes were, that's why there was no coloring of the IntelliSense. It wasn't code, and here's the actual code it generated.
Exactly. The other one is just a summary report.
Yeah, summary report.
Right. And then this is actual code that ran against the target database based on your state in project. Right.
Right.
So it's a bunch of this code, had it to be executed to make those a simple also statement the successful. So using SSDT powered by DAGFX. It intelligently figures out all these dependencies and schema bindings and index matter, and it produces the necessary TSQL scripts when you deploy your changes to target database. So depends on your target database version. It can be a different version. It has different the content in it, like in terms of schema. Then it produces different schema that changes your database to the state of your source code,
right,
which is your system of truth.
Right.
That's a state-based. So we just covered the basic, right? That's the difference between migration versus state-based database development.
Mm-hmm.
And the state-based development is very natural to application developer because that's the way that application developers change their application code.
Right. So if you're changing C#, that's what you expect. You wouldn't expect anything else kind of as a process. You would want to just have your source code be the truth and exactly. your published version, right, is just yep. executable. Database in this case is being treated as an executable, so to speak,
exactly.
right? And like this is the way that I worked with SSGT in a couple of projects mm-hmm. that I worked on last. And yeah. it works great even in a large team setting. So mm-hmm. we had like 25 devs and everybody could just get up and running yep. from get file, get latest version from source right. control. Do this sort of change to their local database, even if they went on vacation mm-hmm. for a week mm-hmm. or two, right? Yeah. They weren't asking for scripts from us.
Right.
And then we can actually leverage the script to change other environments, like mm-hmm. the common, mm-hmm. you know, dev database or whatever.
Right.
So this process, like I can testify to, it works really well.
Mm-hmm. Thank
first-hand
you.
Experience.
Yeah, that's it. I totally agree on that one. So now we just cover the basics, right? Mm-hmm. Let's jump into a CI/CD pipeline, right? Database CI/CD. Nowadays, continuous integration and continuous deployment is common practice for any serious application development project. Everybody just uses it. It became as a, you know, the standard and then something that you must follow. If you develop your database in state-based using project, then mm-hmm. it naturally goes to database CI/CD pipeline because there is no much difference between your application CI/CD
right.
practice versus database CI/CD practice in this matter. That's main reason that I showed you application change first and then showed you the database change. It's basically the same, right?
Yeah, it's just CI/CD is an automated version of what we just
exactly,
demonstrated.
Exactly, exactly. So let's take a look at then what you do is that in application development, what you do is that you make a change and then you check in. So let's check in. So it's I did it in a channel 9 VS Toolbox. Demo. I will just write it.
You
like
just
that.
Broke all the rules about how do you comment your check-ins, but it's okay. We'll let you get away with this one.
Yeah, for this one, I will just get rid of it. It was kind of the demo error, right?
Sure.
And this is the main change. And what you do is that you can commit. I will just do it. Commit all.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have one commit, so I can push it. That's common practice for any developer does, right?
Yep.
Commit it and push it. And also on the source control. You create a pull request, and then we're gonna just skip that part. But that's the same process that you do on database development yeah. using project.
Yeah, it's not specific to what you're demoing, so totally get it.
So now I checked it in, right?
Yep.
Then if I go to Visual Studio Team Services and build, then you see here, the
triggered
new build is automatically triggered. It's now happening. The good thing is that Visual Studio Team Service has a great CI/CD feature, and it has all the database CI/CD feature built in as well, and it's greatly integrated with the Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm.
So by just applying the same concept of using the application CI/CD, using Visual Studio and the Visual Studio Team Service, then it just flows through the database development as well. That's basically what I'm demoing now. So the new build is triggered automatically, and it's just running. So while it's running, it would just take a couple of minutes, and let's take a look at what is in there.
So for somebody that might actually not be familiar with what we're demoing here, this is Visual Studio Team Services. Yeah, so
right.
we're in that portal. We can view some of this data for Visual Studio, but then we can get the richest set of data through
exactly.
the portal itself.
So let me then explain a little bit for people who are not familiar. So Visual Studio Team Service is like the source control repository mm-hmm. and then the command center to run the CI/CD pipeline and all those goodies, right? So that's how I understand it from the database developer perspective. So if you go to code, you saw all the code that is running on the Visual Studio, but it's the source is basically on here. It was on the pull request.
Yeah.
So it was all the source code is here. So if you're running in a team environment, then everybody can just clone mm-hmm. this repository to local, develop it, and check in. That's what you can do. There is no difference between any other, right? The application development.
Yep.
And then
very standard,
it has the flow of a build and release. And the flow, those are mainly two things that we are demoing today. And we have those. So that's kind of a very... nutshell, high-level version of what it is. So,
awesome.
So let me go
so
back.
So our build succeeded here. It shows.
Right. So this one was the one, and it already passed, right? So mm-hmm. I will quickly show you how simple it is to just have CI build going with the VSTS, SSDT, and Visual Studio.
Great.
So the guest source is just the common template. All those tasks are defined in template like this, right? So for database development, what you care about is that these are all the common steps that you do, like defining the location of your source. Mm-hmm. And if you have an application running, web app in my case, it has a NuGet dependency.
Right, it has to restore any dependencies on the server side, do the build.
And this is the key thing. SSDT database project has a built-in support from MS Build. So you can just build the project using MS Build. Okay,
so it's nothing special. You're not installing additional tools. It's just
everything
part of the build process.
Yeah. So you can just, any other app application in a build, application build, you can just specify what is your the solution name. And that's it, basically. Mm-hmm. And this one is something specific for SSDT. If you define this parameter, let's make it bigger. And then instead of using disk for temporary the artifacts, mm-hmm. while it's kind of building and then the analyzing your data database mm-hmm. source, it uses memory.
Do you need to add this parameter, or is this something you're adding?
It's optional, and it makes things much faster.
So you optimize made the build faster, but you manually went in here and added this argument. So folks, don't add it. It still works, it'll be slower in the build pipeline.
Yeah, that is right.
Got it.
And that's basically it. And this one is also a common thing that after the artifacts are created from the build, mm-hmm. then you're basically publishing or copying those artifacts to the server so that later on the release process can get those artifacts and use it, right? So it's a common practice for common steps for any application projects.
Right.
Okay, that's basically it. And you can see whole history of your build operation for yourself and your team members and everything. If I click one of the build now, it runs, right? And if you take a look at the deployment, the key thing is that whenever there's a new build successfully finished, then continuous deployment occurs. That Great. Means it picks up the build artifacts and then deployed it to your target location. It can be your production, it can be your test,
right.
anything like this.
So in this pipeline, two steps got to finish successfully. It's got to build it all successfully, and it's going to push it all successfully.
That is correct. If I go to the release, then probably it's already finished, and I will show you. So I had the setup like a workflow. Mm-hmm. In this workflow, what is that? The first one is deploying the database to user acceptance test.
Let's just go straight to production. What can go wrong?
Yeah, there is it's more like a safety net to have a test in a deployment and then have some integration test or the user acceptance test, and if everything is good, then Visual Studio Team Service has like a sign-off process. So if the authorized person can go and sign off, then then production deployment occurs automatically as well. So that's basically the good thing about.
If you're not building a demo app, you want multiple steps.
Right.
That's the reality.
Right. So
unless you're completely crazy, but I've seen all things.
Deployment is even more simpler, actually. So I have two tasks, but you can choose one or the other. Mm-hmm. Visual Studio Team Service has a task, built-in task, that is called the Deploy Azure SQL Backpack. Mm-hmm. Backpack is the artifact of the project build, right?
Right. So that was the output of the build process, and you knowing that that's part of something you wanted to get released during this pipeline, you went in here, and I'm assuming you had to manually add the task, but it was a template that you already had. VSTS knows about this kind of task, but you still have to configure it. So that's something people need to be aware of.
Right. So configuration is very simple. I will highlight this part. Mm-hmm. So if you take a look at, because it's a deployment to SQL database on Azure. Yeah. So the key thing is the connection part, right?
Right.
So these are the connection strings and your admin. Mm-hmm. The good thing is that for password, but it's protected. So it's protected through variables. So if I go to variable, you can define your variable and then actually hide it.
During demos like this,
exactly.
Nobody sees your password.
Right. So that's a good thing about that one. And then the rest of them is pretty good and simple. Mm-hmm. That's the key thing for your specific environment. And the rest of them is the same thing, just in the location of the DACPAC file. So it's kind of a template. So for a database project, probably this is kind of a same for all the projects, right? So, so that's a it's as simple as this. That's it. So when I was preparing the demo, wow, it's really simple, right?
Yeah.
And if you want to do it in command line and bring in your own version of DAC, FX, or SSDT version for your specific need, mm-hmm. or you want to host it in your own private agent, then you can run the same operation mm-hmm. using command line. We have a tool, command line tool, called the SQL package. Basically, these two tasks are doing the same thing. It's called the SQL package.exe, right. But in this case, it's more like you have control.
Yeah. So if you have really, extreme scenarios or things you just don't fit the standard template, you're not blocked, you can still set up this pipeline, but you have to know how to configure this command line-based tool.
Exactly.
Cool.
All right. So let's go to our application. And it was the state, right, mm-hmm. before the change. And if I refresh it,
there you go.
Now it's a new state, which is data, dynamic data masked on emails. Without changing any application code, it happened. And without going through all the executing alter statements to your live database, you just change your source code file, right?
Yeah.
And
change your SQL. And your app reflects it in your Q&A environment in this case.
Exactly, it's cool. User acceptance. So this is the power of adopting state-based and the database CI/CD pipeline in your DevOps practice.
Yes.
So that's basically the key thing that I wanted to demo today. And as you saw, using the SSDT and state-based, then you can easily, quickly, and efficiently adopt these DevOps practice to your current database development the process.
Yeah.
And I call it modernize, the definition of easy, quicker, and efficient. And the good thing is that note that SQL Server is only our DBMS in the market that supports solutions for both migration-based and mm-hmm. state-based, right?
Cool.
And migration-based approach, there are great tools that can help going through those alter the coding and the execution business. And in Visual Studio 2017 Enterprise Edition, the Redigate Ready Role is now included in that Visual Studio Enterprise Edition. Mm-hmm. And it's a great tool that it can enable CI/CD pipeline as a part of your development practice. So at the end, it is a kind of your choice, which fits best, right?
Right.
We, as Microsoft, we provide you which choices based on whatever your choice is. We provide you full support on that one.
Right. So if you're just a customer of Visual Studio, any addition SSDT is there for you for the state based. And
exactly.
Then if you're an enterprise customer 2017, or if you own the license of Redgate for your own purposes or some other potential tool out there in the marketplace at some point, it's going to be integrated for you for those solutions.
Right.
Cool.
So if you haven't tried SSDT and Visual Studio Team Service-based those DevOps pipeline CI/CD, then try it today. SSDT is fully supporting all editions of Visual Studio 2017. Today you saw that I demoed it on the community mm-hmm. edition of Visual Studio 2017.
The free version of our product.
Right, exactly. And VSTS is also free for small team with 5 users. Mm-hmm. And the great unlimited features like a Git repo and the work item management that I started in my demo. And it has one private agent. That's great. And one hosted agent with 4-hour use per month for free.
That's awesome.
And
so
if you find
flexibility,
it really,
and it's free.
Yeah, exactly. And then you tried it out today. It's all you can just start without the adding any cost on your side. And then if you like it, then you can go into a Visual Studio Team Service paid version for your real team project and kind of stuff.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. So you've got some resources for folks to take a look at here.
Yeah, I have. If you want to find out more about what is DevOps, there is a great the keynote by Brian Harris, shift left the concept as part of the Visual Studio 2017 launch keynote.
Yeah, very fresh video, very recent.
Yeah, exactly. So I have listed the useful references here. Mm-hmm. So you can just go and find out more about all about SSDT, all about database CI/CD. And then even have a database CI/CD tutorial posted on my blog. So you can go and then follow just step by step. Then you can do exactly the same thing that I did today in your own environment. And if you are Mac and Linux developers, then the CI/CD part is not there yet, but we have a great tool like MS SQL extension for VS Code. So you can get started in developing your application and database on Mac and Linux as well.
That's awesome, yeah. And we're trying to bring the goodness to every platform where we have developers, and VS Code runs everywhere, so that's awesome. And then Visual Studio and Windows has all this already up and running. And I'll be sure to put all these notes into the show description, so folks don't have to worry about memorizing the long URLs here. We'll get them posted. And thank you so much for being on the show, Eric.
Thank you for inviting us.
All right. Well, we'll be back with more next Visual Studio Toolbox. Thank you very much for watching.
Thank you.